You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Amy Scott. This week in Baltimore, the school board approved a new plan to fund city schools based on poverty rates. Previously, funds were distributed based on test scores, with schools getting extra money for advanced students as well as for low-performing students who might need more services. The new plan aims to address the ways that poverty affects student achievement, which raises a question. Can more money fix what's been called the education debt? Jack Schneider, Assistant Professor of Education at the College of the Holy Cross, is here to discuss with us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Can you explain this concept of education debt?
Sure. The idea, essentially, is that not every student comes into school with the same kinds of background and experience, that not every student is equally ready to learn, and that that's a result of social and economic history in the United States. And so students who have been historically marginalized are going to come into school less advantaged and less privileged. And therefore, it's important to invest more in those students if the goal is to produce equal educational outcomes.
And you argue that that debt follows them throughout their education, not just as they begin, but to the end of the pipeline as well?
Yes, if it isn't dealt with quite early. If it's not dealt with, it's something that actually will exacerbate over time as students, for instance, develop negative self-concepts, meaning that they don't see themselves as being successful students. It certainly is possible that very strong, robust intervention early on can do a great deal. But it's also important to recognize that at every stage, some students are getting more support at home as well as in their neighborhoods than other students are.
So in theory, Baltimore City schools should start receiving equitable funding rather than equal funding based on poverty. How will this change things for students?
You know, unfortunately, my guess is that it won't change things dramatically. A few hundred dollars per student may not make a tremendous amount of difference. And there's a really important contextual piece here, which is that the state has the capacity to make up a lot of the difference, but Maryland schools are underfunded relative to schools in some place like where I am in Massachusetts. So in Maryland, schools that have a 0% poverty rate have about $1,000 more than schools with a 30% poverty rate. That's not a huge percentage of students in poverty, but it's a significant difference in terms of dollars. Whereas in Massachusetts, schools with a 30% poverty rate have a couple $1,000s more to work with per student. That's enough to make a pretty big difference in terms of the kinds of supports they're able to deliver to students.
And yet, Baltimore spends more per student than almost any district in the country, around $16,000 per pupil. How do you square that?
You know, some people will look at spending like that and they'll say, you know, Baltimore's got more money than my local suburban community. That ought to be enough. Of course, it truly depends on the place. It depends on, you know, what kind of support students are coming into school with. The students who are being educated in Baltimore often do not have the same kind of at-home or neighborhood supports that other students have. And so even an extra couple $1,000s may not do what it takes.
What do we know about how funding increases affect student performance?
There's been a lot of research into this. Some studies have found that funding has a kind of negligible influence, but often that's because it's being studied in places where funding is not being directed in ways that will address what we've been referring to as the education debt. But more robust studies have found that funding does make a difference. It makes a substantial difference.
I'm also curious about students in the middle, I guess both academically and on the income spectrum. If more funding is going to low-income kids, as well as to kids who are high achievers, you know, the gifted and talented, are those kids in the middle getting left behind?
You know, it's a good question. The Baltimore plan got me thinking about that a bit. And, you know, it presumes that as sort of standard education works for the kids in the middle, and that whatever we're doing right now is fine for them. And I think it's important to, you know, interrogate that assumption and to think about all kinds of learners and what it takes to deliver the kind of education that works for everybody. One of the things that we will need to do is expand the way we are measuring school performance. Standardized tests are not a particularly good tool for doing that. And so the more we can move away from that and towards more authentic measures of student performance, as well as measuring other kinds of outcomes, and particularly long-term outcomes, we'll be able to tell how all of our kids are doing, and then be able to try to design different kinds of interventions that will support every student.
All right. Jack Schneider is an education historian at College of the Holy Cross. He wrote about education debt in The Atlantic this week. And Jack co-hosts an education podcast called Have You Heard? Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.